This is Lonnie Stark of Stark Silver Creek, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Wine Tales, where we profile the people, places, and stories of West Coast wine country. I'm here today with Ross Halleck of Halleck Vineyards. He's both the founder as well as winemaker for Halleck Vineyards. Welcome, Ross.
Thank you, Lonnie. It's nice to be here.
Just so our listeners get a bit more familiarity with you as well as with the vineyards, can you tell us a little about your background as well as where Halleck Vineyards is and the type of winery it is?
Well, let's see. Let's start with where Halleck Vineyard is and begin with that context. Halleck Vineyard is located in Sebastopol, California, which is north of the Golden Gate, about 45 or 50 miles, and you hang a left and you go till you can see the ocean, and there we are. We're on a ridge at about 1,000 feet, and so we can see on one side the Pacific Ocean and the other side all the way over to Napa Valley and Mount St. Helena. So it's a really kind of commanding kind of makes my heart beat just to think about it. It's a very blessed place to be. And I moved there with my wife-to-be at, 1990, 91 in that area with the intention of planting a vineyard. And my background is that I had a branding and marketing firm in Silicon Valley. My focus was in both high technology and wines, and thinking those are both California native interests as well. I'm not a California native, but I've adopted California as my home. And California certainly adopted me with open and warm heart. And I began the schlep back and forth from Silicon Valley to the wine country, keeping an office in Palo Alto and opening an office in the wine country in Sonoma County. And Jennifer, my partner, and I got married, and we had, over the course of a few years, three sons, and built a brand called Halleck Vineyard.
So what I found interesting, Ross, about your background, we talked to quite a number of winemakers and others in the industry, and they seem to be actually from the wine region or grew up in it and oftentimes have a long history in there, whereas I think you've sort of taken upon forging into wine country and creating your own vineyard. What actually got the idea into your head to do this, and at any moment did your friends and family think you were crazy?
Well, I think anybody who chooses agriculture as a way of life has to be a little bit crazy, and some, certainly friends and family were scratching their heads. But what drew me to wine is honestly comes from my roots in the sort of the late 60s and the whole consciousness movement and let's just say that in my early 20s, I selected wine as my drug of choice. And, wine had a lot going for it. It had that, of course, that that elevation that one experiences from drinking wine. But more importantly for me was the history and sort of the context of wine and wine's extraordinary ability to elevate a conversation, to enhance intimacy, and actually create community. So wine had for me multiple dimensions that captured my imagination and my passion, and has held my interest to this day, and I expect will carry my interest through the rest of my life. It has a long history. It is one never is an expert about wine. It continually unfolds in terms of what it what you can learn and how it reveals itself. And the ironic thing about wine is that the more you know, the less you know. And so it just keeps on ticking for me as in terms of an interest, an avocation, and a passion.
That's interesting how you talk about how the more you know about wine, the you realize the less you know about it. When you first started to now, what do you think were some of the surprises along the way? Did you visit a lot of vineyards before you decided to actually plant your own? How much knowledge did you gain ahead of time, and how much did you just learn from being in the midst of trying to build this vineyard and business yourself?
Well, what one learns going to vineyards, and of course I did a lot of traveling to vineyards as in my marketing and branding firm. I worked with Beaulieu Vineyard, I worked with Kendall Jackson, I worked with Raymond Vineyard, Iron Horse Vineyards. I have a host of wine clients that I was very involved in helping them build their brands and helping them market their products. So I was visiting a lot and tasting a lot and becoming more and more familiar, and the more And I felt like I walked into the wine country and into this endeavor with a fair amount of background. I had no idea how much I didn't know, and many people who launch into any business say, if I knew what I didn't know, I might not have done it. I don't think that's the case in this particular instance, but it is true that I was kind of laughably naive walking into a piece of property and it's going, well, I'm going to plant a vineyard here that had never had a vineyard before. It had no history of viticulture, where I planted my vineyard. So I was really rolling the dice big time, and fortunately, the stars aligned and spirit was working with me, because the vineyard that we planted, and its first vintage as a vineyard designated wine was selected by a panel of judges as the number one Pinot Noir in the United States. And that is really what put us on the map and sent me from just growing grapes to making wine and building a brand.
Since you have a strong background in brand and marketing, I'm sure there was an element also figuring out what Halleck Vineyards would represent as a brand, especially in an area, maybe not when you first started, but more so there's a lot of new brands popping up everywhere. What do you think really differentiates Halleck Vineyards?
Well, when we first began, we were one of the first five vineyards planted in Sebastopol. And interestingly enough, I feel pretty young, but we're now regarded as pioneers in an area that has just exploded with wineries. When we started, what differentiated us then differentiates us today, and it is a combination of place, family. It's truly a family vineyard. One of our wines is called Three Sons, and it's obviously named after my three sons, and their names and ages are on the back of the bottle. And also lifestyle. And I say that as I know that all wine brands try to differentiate themselves as lifestyle brands, but we've taken it to another level by building a wine club that is based on travel and sharing community and the world as a group and as a community.
So that's interesting you brought up travel. The first time when we first actually we met your son while at on a tour of Tahoe Mountain Resorts, actually on a gondola, and that's where we actually found out more about Halleck Vineyards and why we're talking today. But when we were trying to get in contact with you had been traveling quite extensively. Is this an interest that you obviously have? Where were you, and what sort of interesting things did you see along the way?
Well, when you caught me, it wasn't, it was, Halleck Vineyard travel to the extent that in some of the areas I was selling wine and scoping out new places to take my wine club. So when you caught me, I was just leaving Peru, where I had hiked the Inca Trail to Machu Picchu, and I'm actually planning a trip with our Vineyard Wine Club, a wine tour of, clearly not a wine tour of Peru, but when we go on these trips that we take our wine club, we always bring our wines with us and punctuate events with a bottle here, a bottle there, a winemaker dinner here and there. And we're anticipating doing a 5-day hike along the Inca Trail, schlepping, or having someone else schlep our wines with us and camping along the way and arriving at Machu Picchu at the break of dawn one day. We did a similar adventure tour of Kenya this past year in Africa with some of our wine club members. And we spent actually almost a month in various safaris in Kenya and carrying our wines with us. And the year previous to that, we did a Halleck Vineyard trip to Italy. We went to Venice for Carnevale, and we went to Tuscany and visited some of the wine country there and some of the wineries that have become sisterly or friendly wineries to our own. Tuscany is certainly very similar to, in topography and climate, to Sonoma County, and felt quite like being at home. And certainly the warmth and hospitality of the Italians is world-renowned. That was a great place to bring our group. We've done a 5-day trip in New York, where Thomas Kellert per se did a winemaker dinner for 24 of our wine club members. And we've also done kayaking trips to Malas Bay, where we spent a night and a winemaker dinner at Pat Coletto's restaurant called Nick's Cove. So it's sort of part of our raison d'être, if you will. Wine is a complement to life. People pair wine and food, we pair wine and experience.
That's interesting. You must have a lot of enthusiastic wine club members who are also very strong. I usually, when I go to a country, I'm limited in terms of the amount of wine I could bring back by how much I can actually carry. In terms of your wine club, how many wine club members do you have? It must be quite interesting coordination to do one of these travel events.
Well, we have, on our mailing list, probably 4,000 people. It isn't a lot of coordination. Well, I have to say that the trip to Africa was a year and a half of effort, and we had 17 people booked. And that number, we actually had more than that number of people interested, but the smallest safari camp that we were planning to visit had only 17 beds, so that put a cap on the number of people that we could have join us. And that would have been actually a perfect amount. Unfortunately, 6 months before we were heading out to Kenya, after a year of planning, Kenya broke out in civil unrest, and half of our group, chose to, because the airlines and all the hotels had, offered to refund all of our deposits, half of our group opted out. And the other half of us said, we'll roll the dice with a guarantee that we can get our deposits back if, in fact, things are still, unsettled. So we ended up going to Africa with only 8 people, and that was a really great group. Getting back to your original question, coordination is always challenging, but the reward is so rich that I actually take great pleasure in putting these trips together.
So these wines that you take around with you in pairing with the travel, with the experience, you mentioned that you won an award for one of your wines. Do you specialize in Pinots, or do you look across the board at other wine varietals as well?
Well, Pinot Noir is, kind of what put us on the map, and it's certainly what drove me to plant a Pinot Noir vineyard. However, in the course of growing the winery, we had the opportunity to be in, a vortex for viticulture and talent. And my tastes that, span a much broader a broader palette than simply Pinot. I just, have limited resources, and, planting a single Pinot Noir vineyard was about all I could muster. But given the new models, so the new ways that, small wineries can produce wine, I went starting a knock started knocking on doors of my neighbors, and I like to cook Indian food, and so I started looking for Gewürztraminer, and there just happened to be in Sebastopol a grower who was growing a small amount of Gewürztraminer, and so we contracted with that vineyard and brought in a dry Gewürztraminer and started making a dry Gewürztraminer to go with the food that I like to cook. And then, Sauvignon Blanc was always a favorite of mine. I mean, of course, pairing with Pinot Noir, the obvious white, as would be, indicated from Burgundy would be a Chardonnay, but there were a lot of Chardonnays being made, and it isn't, one of my favorite wines, and Sauvignon Blanc is one that I prefer. So we found a grower again in our neighborhood who was growing Sauvignon Blanc, and so contracted to buy some of those grapes and started making that wine as well. So now we have probably six different Pinots because we soon eclipsed the demand for our single vineyard, and other neighbors are providing in other individual vineyards that we make Pinot Noir from and a dry. So we have six of those and a dry Gewürztraminer and a Sauvignon Blanc.
It sounds like your vineyard has experienced quite a bit of growth since you've started it. On an annual basis, how many cases do you generally produce from your vineyard?
Well, that's I'm smiling here on this side of the line. My vineyard has not experienced any growth at all, and that's an interesting point of differentiation between vineyard and brand. Now, the brand is called Halleck Vineyard, so it's a perfectly valid question. The brand Halleck Vineyard has grown, but the vineyard is still 1 acre and produces our estate-grown wine, and we get about 40 to maybe 150 cases from that single vineyard. What has expanded is our brand, and what we've done is, knocked on doors, as I suggested, and we've increased our case production from about 89 cases our first year to about 2,000 cases now, using local fruit from our friendly and supportive neighbors.
It's nice also, I'm sure they appreciate being able to provide and supply great fruit for your Halleck Vineyard brand.
It is a again a community effort. It's very convivial. We have a couple of gentlemen who have a 2 acre vineyard in town called the Farm Vineyard that we make a vineyard designate from, and they take great pleasure in sitting outside on their watching their grapes grow in their Adirondack chairs, drinking Halleck Vineyard, the Farm Pinot Noir in the waning days of summer.
You mentioned that it's a very much a sort of family business as well with your wife and your three sons. Of your three sons, which one seems to be developing the most promise in terms of taking this over or becoming a winemaker as well?
Well, I think that, I have my sons, let's put this into context, are 11, 14, and 16 years old. None of them have indicated keen interest in work of any kind. So, and I think that's just typical of teenagers and younger. And so I'm not holding out any false hopes. They'll choose their paths. I think they all appreciate the wine country lifestyle. They all appreciate wine and do drink wine with meals.
In terms of your sons, if you're thinking of them taking over one day, don't lose hope. Actually, it's funny, a lot of the winemakers we talk to, they do mention and reminisce about drinking wines when they were, some even declare they've drank wine since they were six, although I question that. But what seems to be the pattern is that they'll go out and try out, we had a musician one time and a biker another. But eventually they return back to exactly what you were mentioning, which is the wine country lifestyle and becoming winemakers. So it's an interesting cycle that we've observed while speaking to quite a number of winemakers in the Napa region.
Well, one of the things, one of the little techniques I use for keeping stress out of my life and keeping a smile on my face is not to future trip too much, not to be too attached to outcomes, and just enjoy the moment. And so that is a big lesson one learns when raising children. And so, again, I'm not attached to the outcome here. If I just, put one foot forward every day, and I keep a smile on my face, and do the best I can with my sons, and they'll make their own choices. And I think that the cards are all in our favor.
So, what are you busy with at the winery right now? And since it's I'm sure when you start actually producing the wines, you probably get a lot of help as well in doing that.
Yeah, it takes a village. Right now, we're just past bud break. We've got leaves coming out of the vines, and we're down in the vineyard weed whacking, and we practice organic farming in the vineyard, so we're out there with the weed whackers just to bring down the growth what used to be a time for spraying Roundup is now a time for mowing. This is a kind of a high time for marketing and selling wine because the vineyard is slow and it's growth and doesn't require a lot of time. And so I'm spending a lot of time in the barrel room tasting through our current our 08 vintage. And I'm sorry. 08 vintage. I'm getting a little confused here because we're also negotiating contracts for the 09 fruit. But I'm in the barrel room with the 08 vintage, tasting through the barrels. I really enjoy and encourage anybody listening that is interested in doing a barrel tasting to just give me a ring. And I love bringing people through and tasting how the 08s are developing in barrel and comparing them to the 06s that we currently have on the market and tasting back and forth from vintage to barrel, bottle to barrel. And watching and tracking how these wines are developing so that we can make a bottling decision coming up in not too long.
So you bring up a good point. How is Halleck Vineyards, is there an open tasting room, or do they need to call you to make an appointment to do a barrel tasting?
They have to call and make an appointment. We do not have a quote-unquote a hospitality center. I am open for hosting. It is a very personal experience for anybody who chooses to come up and taste with me. It takes place either in my home, overlooking the vineyard, or in the barrel room with the current vintage and open bottles of previous vintages. But I don't have a staff. I don't have a retail center. I don't sell tchotchkes and swag, and I don't have like t-shirts with my name on it. It's really about selling the wine.
Great. I think the way you describe where your vineyard is located and just that image that you painted right now, I'm sure it's a wonderful sort of invitation to our listeners to give you a call, and we'll post up your contact information with this podcast on Stark Silver Creek. So it sounds like the vineyard and the marketing around it keeps you quite busy, but besides that part of your life, what other things do you enjoy doing around your vineyard and around the West Coast?
Well, I have a hard time declaring. I'm an instrument pilot, so I love to fly and try to get up at least once a week to keep my skills honed. I have two kayaks hanging in my garage because I'm just 20 minutes from Tomales Bay, and whenever I can, I load those on the top of my Suburban and drive out to the coast and get in a half day of kayaking or a day. I have a bicycle in my garage that I try to ride at least three times a week. I love to hike. I love to travel, as you know. I'm somewhat of an adventure traveler, and that takes up some time. I've been known to get on the tennis court now and again, but sometimes there are just too many things I love to do, and tennis, unfortunately, has taken a back seat. As much as I love it, as compressed as the time can be that you play tennis, it has fallen into sort of the back seat to some of my other passions.
Well, I can't, I mean, it's definitely hearing all the other things you're interested in doing. You must have many more hours than I do in a week, because I started calculating this and it sounds like you live a very active and adventurous life. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your vineyard and kayaking and biking to speak to us here on our Wine Tales.
Oh, let's not forget skiing, too. Skiing is another big passion, but fortunately that only takes place a few months of the year.
Yes, and that's where we met your son, snowboarding.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, Ross, for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with us. I think it's really interesting hearing about your vineyard, and it's great to see that you have a very hands-on approach to it, and you obviously have a passion for it.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for tracking me down and tracking with me to get this interview, and you have an open invitation to come visit. I look forward to seeing you up in Sebastopol.
Great. We'll definitely give you a call when we're planning a trip up there. And definitely this idea of drinking wine while looking at the ocean, it sounds like an invitation that's hard to turn down. This is Lonnie Stark of Stark Silver Creek. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Wine Tales.